All right, shall we kick into the next module?
Yeah, I think we should.
Ready to go? Okay. All right, so let's go over...
What are we talking about this time?
Well, let's look at our course topics. We have gone through the landscape of relational, key value, document, which we were just talking about. So now it's on to graph stores.
Okay.
And then we have a couple more to wrap up the day.
Yep.
So we'll go into a discussion about what a graph database actually is. Why would you use it? Maybe why you wouldn't. We'll talk about options in Azure, and then we'll do a demo with one particular database called Neo4j.
Cool. Okay. So, what is a graph database, David?
That is a good question. It's all about nodes and relationships. So,
pies and lines and bars.
No,
not those kinds.
If you want those type of graphs, you can go to Excel and other favorite tools.
Which you shouldn't store in a document database.
Right, right. But SharePoint.
Okay.
Cool. Okay. Now
right,
we got
so graph database, nodes and relationships.
Yes.
Yeah, so explain that a little bit.
Okay. So let's imagine that I'm a node and you're a node, right? So the two of us are nodes in a database, mm-hmm. and we're friends with each other.
Okay.
So maybe I am friends with Ryan. So two nodes and a relationship.
Okay.
Now I can have properties. So person.
Well,
I could have relationship. Okay. So person is friends with person. So this person has a property name of David. This one property name of Ryan. Then the relationship is friends with, and maybe that has a property like for how long.
Okay.
Maybe it's how many years. So then we can do all sorts of queries on that type of data.
Cool. Okay.
So that's the basic idea.
Nodes and relationships. All
right. Right.
Cool.
That's at its core, right? There's no more concept of the table and document JSON documents. I mean, we're just thinking about nodes. Circles and lines.
Circles and lines.
Circles
I
and
like
lines.
It. Circles and lines. Okay.
Yeah.
I can picture circles and lines.
Yeah. So, you know, let's just imagine there's somebody wondering if they should see a movie, and maybe someone else reviewed that movie.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be neat if you were friends with somebody that might have reviewed that movie?
That would be pretty cool. Yeah.
So again.
So I only want to watch movies that my friends have watched and reviewed higher than 5, because my friends have a good taste in movies, and I don't want to watch movies that they thought were. Maybe I shouldn't be friends with you. But
come on.
Most of my friends have good taste in movies. So, you know, I only want to watch movies that friends of mine have rated highly.
I don't know if I'm allowed to say what movies I would rate highly and poorly here.
No, please don't.
But they might involve great actors like Chevy Chase.
Okay.
So. Okay, I'm glad the peanut gallery is cheering. All right, All right, so that's the basics of a graph database.
All right, cool. Circles and lines.
Circles and lines.
Got it.
So let's think why, let's help Ryan understand, and you as well, in the audience, why you would use circles and lines.
Excellent.
and maybe not.
All right. Not for tic-tac-toe, but other reasons. All right. Why a graph database?
So let's talk about complex connections. I'm losing it here. All right. Earlier, you were showing some joins, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and one of the tables that you were talking about was people, and you started mentioning friends earlier.
That's it.
Well, imagine the connection graph between friends, right?
I want to know my levels of disconnect to Kevin Bacon.
Right, degrees.
Six degrees from Kevin Bacon. Suspect I'm a little bit further than that, but let's try it.
Right, I think you're right at 7.
Yeah,
I
mean, okay.
Right, so you can picture how complex this graph is getting. I'm friends with you, you're friends with somebody else. Like, maybe I want to know how close I am to being friends with Satya, right? Or maybe Elon Musk, right?
Okay.
Right? We just want to be friends with somebody.
All right.
Okay, so very complex connections, right?
Yep.
And this is an ideal use case for the graph database, because instead of these complex joins where we're going out and fetching a particular element and then going and finding another element and looking up and joining them and then doing another join.
This is my SQL kind of example where I had person and friend. Mm-hmm. Well, I've got a direct relationship to that friend, but how would I then traverse that relationship to find out who you're friends with and then tie it back to who? Oh, I can imagine the SQL query for that would just be intense.
Yeah, so now imagine a direct connection between the nodes.
That would be cool.
Every node, you just say, I just want the node we're connected to, and then maybe traverse the next node down,
Okay.
Right, very easy. You can go in any direction. Maybe I want to go to all my friends and then find out what movies outbound that they watched and reviewed.
Okay. Right. Cool.
So easy to navigate.
Okay.
Once you have a starting place in the graph, it's easy
start
to
start at a node and go somewhere.
Very simple to navigate. I mean, that's really at the heart of the graph database engine.
Cool.
We already talked a little bit about joins. There's really no need to start combining the concept of tables, and you wouldn't combine nodes. You wouldn't have to join two nodes together. Now, you can query across multiple nodes. You can do multi-part queries. Maybe you query for part of your data and maybe get the top five movies that your friends rated. And with those movies, now you want to search for, I don't know, stores that sell that movie.
Okay. Right, completely. Or someone showing that movie. Or...
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
Cool.
And one of the nice things, I want to say this is more popular with the NoSQL databases in general, like the one you showed in Document Database and some others. You can add and evolve the model.
What's really cool about the NoSQL databases is this notion of, hey, just roll with the changes. As your schema changes, just go with them. You
know? Yeah. So if I want to add, let's say that now I have another node that talks about where I went to school. Or something. Well, I could add school nodes, and I can connect myself to a school node, but I don't have to go back and modify a schema. Well, I don't have to change any rules.
You just throw in a new kind of node, and you just create a new relationship between nodes that were there and nodes that you just added.
And I can still query, like, hey, for everybody that's gone to a school, show me where they've gone.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe I updated the database since we had the added the option to add a school, but I query, and you didn't realize you could enter school information, so I don't have information for you, but you could add it later. It just doesn't matter.
Cool. Neat.
Yeah.
So I just won't come back in your query until I've gone and updated my node to put the school information in.
Right, but it's not going to break the database.
No, it won't break your application. Yeah. Okay.
Now, some of the relations that we've talked about, some of the relationships in the data are really, really complex, and you do have to have joins, and there's very specific rules that you have. There's no getting around it. The rule enforcement is not going to be the same in a graph database. You could still do it. We talked about, Golden Hammer.
I can still do rule enforcements in relationships in a document database, but it's not the database itself doing it. I've got to actually then do that stuff myself.
I mean, there's always something that the database is going to help with.
Okay.
Right. There's a lot of mechanisms in the database that help enforce unique constraints and keys or whatever indexes, but unlike a relational database that's really locking down your rules.
Okay.
Right? And then OLAP, I put down. I still think that when you're into reporting tools, I mean, you're looking at a SQL type of, a relational type of data engine, I think is better for reporting, at least for like data warehousing.
Slicing and dicing it down.
That type of data analysis, I just see that as a better fit.
So if you were using like a graph database and you wanted to do reporting, would you then kind of like use your query against your graph database, suck that into something like a relational database and put it into an OLAP cube?
Well, it depends on the type of data.
Okay.
Maybe I'm using the graph database for movie reviews, but maybe I'm using a SQL database for the stuff that I need to report on, like my monthly finances, the accounts receivable and payable.
Cool, okay.
Okay.
Makes sense, yeah. Okay, so that's when you would use one. And probably when you wouldn't use one.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a look at some of those options in Azure. How do you run graph databases in Azure?
So it turns out that there's no PaaS option today. Right? But you know, if you're going to go run off and build one, I won't stop you. But from an IaaS perspective, you can run many. There's many different flavors of a graph database. We talked already about
Neo4j.
There's Dex and Orion, Infinite Graph, and Allegro.
Okay.
There's just a great variety of engines.
Neat.
Yep. And one of the things that also with these data engines, some of them can only scale up. Some can scale up and out.
Okay.
There's a variety. So again, we have...
You've got to pick the one that best suits your need, right?
Yeah, and we have big virtual machines, but depending on what you're storing in the graph, these are pretty efficient on space.
Because usually you're not storing vast amounts of data, you're storing circles and lines, right?
But you might store vast numbers of nodes, millions or billions of nodes.
Yeah. If you wanted to do a graph database for every person in the world, 5 billion nodes, with lots and lots and lots of lines.
Yeah.
Okay. Hey, that could be something nice to put into a graph database. We should try it one day.
Just one node per person? We could do that.
And all the relationships. Anyway.
Yeah.
Cool.
Why don't you tweet that?
So show us something. Show us something. I'm excited.
Yeah. So let's play around a little bit with Neo4j. So this is an interesting query language. But don't go spazzing out on me here.
What is that?
This is a really interesting query language. It's
I can actually see there. It's node with a relationship to another node. Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. It's the language is called Cypher, and it's actually drawn out.
Correct?
Yeah, it's no. It's drawn out with ASCII art.
Okay.
So, right, a node.
Who doesn't love ASCII art?
Oh, come on. This is like this is back to the good old days, right? So a node is represented by something in parentheses.
All right. Cool.
A relationship, the name of the relationship is in the brackets, but take a look, we actually created an arrow here.
Okay.
Right, this.
So that's the direction I'm going.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're actually pointing to the right. So Ryan, and you could have labels on your nodes, which are like indexes.
Okay.
So Ryan is a type person, and he is friends with David, who's type person. Mm-hmm. And then there's another relationship coming out of an outbound relationship from David, where he has reviewed
movies.
Right. He's reviewed...
A particular movie, Fletch.
Right. Yes, a fantastic movie.
Right. Haven't watched it.
What?
So, this is what I'm doing. I'm now querying my node database, my graph database, to find out movies I should go watch.
Okay, so you know that, after today,
I'm going to have to go watch Fletch.
Okay.
All right, cool.
All right. So, again, we have a chain of nodes and relationships. It's not like it stops between...
Chain them up.
Yep.
Neat. Okay.
So that's the basics of what the query language looks like.
Cool. All right. Show me a demo.
A demo?
I don't believe you. It's as cool as you say it. Show me some demos.
How can you say
that? I believe I can do everything you do in Neo. I can do it as effectively in a relational database. challenge set. Let's go.
Okay.
Show me some things.
Show you some things.
Show me some stuff.
All right, so what I did,
yes,
pretty circles and lines, and if we take a look at my home screen, I spun up a Neo4j virtual machine, so that's running. Okay, and we're in it, if you take a look at it.
Portal open,
Yep. All right, so we're in our graph database engine, and we can say something simple where we want to match a node, and it really doesn't matter what variable name here. P is a type of person, right? And we could say return p.name, and why don't we limit it to only return us the first five it finds, right? So these are some people that are in this sample database.
Okay.
Right. So we also have movies.
I could do that in SQL, so.
Okay, then.
Okay.
Well,
keep going.
All right. So, so far we have not sold.
You have not sold me.
Yep. If we take a look over here, we have a nice summary of the labels in the database. Yeah. This is a little helper, and you don't really need the web portal. This is all programmatically accessible, right?
Cool.
But we can now say something like match M is of type movie, right? And return m.title. Of course, that would be really terrible for me to do that because there's thousands of movies in the database. Mm-hmm. So we can we know how to return a title.
I can still do select top one.
Right, yes, okay. And it's, of course, you can say, title and, whoops.
Fletch.
Ah, where'd it go? Right, Fletch.
So you're looking for,
Yep, Fletch. So very easy, right?
Okay. So simple point lookups.
Right, okay. But what happens if we want to do something fancy? So we're going to grab this query here. We're going to say that an actor, we're going to go in two directions here.
Oh.
So this is going to be fun. So check this one out. So now we have an actor.
Yep, okay.
Who acted in, we're going, oops.
Oops, don't
let's
do
not
that.
Do that.
right? Drop text.
We're acting in a movie. Notice we in our match query we can go both directions, right?
So he and either acted in, or the actor either acted in a movie or directed the movie.
No, and this is and. This entire thing has to match. This is we've painted this entire relationship.
So this is like this Tarantino so, who puts himself into a movie that he directs.
Right, and we don't care if the movies are the same. I mean, we label them as two different variables. Okay. We're going to return the actor's name and a collection of distinct movies that this person was in. So here we have two actors that
were
in.
Directors.
Yep, so they were in a movie and they directed a movie. Okay. Like this person was in Tarnation and Short Bus and they directed one of them. So.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's pretty easy to do in SQL, right?
I guess we'll do that in SQL.
Yeah, okay. All right. So here, let's take a look at the, this is a with query. So here we're going to say anybody rated a movie, and then we're going to do a second query against it. We're going to say, with the title and the average rating, as long as the average rating is greater than 4, let's go ahead and return it. So here we go. These are our top movies where the rating was at least 4 and we descended it. Yep. Right? Very
still
simple to do.
Yep.
Still pretty easy. Okay.
You're not testing my SQL skills yet.
Okay. So here's a number of directors with the most number of ratings. I'm sure that's trivial for you to do.
That's easy.
That's easy. Anyone rated a movie? Okay. And,
right.
So there we go. The Wachowskis with The Matrix. Okay. So why don't I try something? Let's find, we have two people here. They're actors, Martin Sheen, Michael Douglas. And let's find the shortest path between the two.
So is this, did they ever work together in the same movie?
Who knows how they're related? So one thing that you can do in the query.
It could have been a director and the actor, and so that would be a direct link between. Okay.
Sure, so what we're saying is, all we know, it's a node that's of type actor, mm-hmm. another node of type actor where one's Martin Sheen, one's Michael Douglas, and then we want to find the shortest path between the two nodes. We don't care at all how they're related. All we're saying is wildcard, like from 0 to 15 hops, they acted in a movie and somehow directed and whatever the relationship chain, this will show us how close we can actually relate them.
We're starting to get interesting here.
Here we go. And this one, we're coming up as a graph, right? So we can click here. There's Martin Sheen. There's Michael Douglas. And they were in this movie called Wall Street.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
So they both happened to act in that movie. So they have a direct, that's the shortest link between them.
Yeah, so that's
phenomenal. I don't think I could do that in SQL. You're now starting to test my SQL.
Okay. Yeah, so now.
I might be able to, but.
You think? You know. Well, let's redo that query. And let's say that now we're looking for, Sandra Bullock. Because I don't think the two of them have acted in the same movie.
Right?
Well, turns out they haven't. So, but this is the absolute shortest path between the two. So this is my
6 degrees of separation between Kevin Bacon and me.
Yeah, so in this case, it's Michael Douglas and Sandra Bullock. So
Sandra Bullock.
Here, Michael Douglas acted in King of California, which Evan Rachel Wood was in that, who acted in Practical Magic.
That Sandra Bullock was in.
Yeah.
Patrick Magic's another good movie. I'm not sure if I should admit that.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was awesome.
Okay, so.
That is pretty cool. So, I cannot do that in SQL.
It's not that you can't. Right? It would take some resources to do it.
It would take curses and stored procs of nastiness and temporary tables and all sorts of craziness.
Yep. So in a nutshell, that's the sweet spot with graph databases and nodes and relationships and how things work. And of course it gets more complicated.
And this is how you can get like a website, like a big social network that says I'm connected to you and you connected to that person. So therefore I've got 3 degrees of connection between the other person that you connected to.
Sure, there's some great use cases. Think about here we had some reviews and some acting and directing so we could find out who acted together and directed together. Imagine product recommendations, imagine your social network, you log into your favorite social network and it says, maybe you'd like to become friends with these three people. Yeah,
you're friends with this person, so maybe you want to be friends with these people. Because, mm-hmm. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it.
Friends you might know or people you might know.
Sure. And there's other other uses. Maybe you're storing your hierarchy, your org chart. Org charts are never just a flat a regular hierarchy. No. Sometimes you have virtual managers you're reporting to.
And depending on one level of management at Microsoft, right? So, I mean, we got a dead flat org.
Just, but with different levels within that dead flat.
Okay. Different levels of flat. Okay.
Yeah. So that, hopefully that gave a good idea.
Absolutely, yeah. What you could do. I think you definitely tested my SQL kind of skills towards the end there. You started off where I was like, yeah, okay, you're not selling me. But those last couple of queries, I was like, there's no way I'm going to do that efficiently in SQL. So that's pretty cool.
All right.
Awesome.
All right.
So back to the DEX.
So
what have we got?
So let's summarize this the graph database, right? We went over what a graph database is.
Circles,
right?
And lines.
Circles and lines.
And how the circles are joined by lines.
You know, there's other graph databases, right? They don't all have the visual drawing tool built into their portal. So, but I like to think of it as circles and lines. Very easy to connect, very easy to traverse.
Yeah.
Right. Why and why not? We went over several cases. I really think from a business standpoint, social graphs are great. Any type of highly connected data is fantastic because of the speed that you can navigate these connections.
Yeah, because you can start at any node and go in any direction from that point on.
Yeah.
It's not like you have to start at the beginning, walk the entire tree until you get to a point and then go from there. You can just dive straight into that node and then branch out from there.
Yeah.
And that's very different to other databases. Other databases, you'd have to start at a beginning point somewhere and then traverse a tree or traverse some kind of an index to get to where you want to start.
Right, and very rich queries too. I mean, not only did we see the matching and the where clause, there's filtering and aggregation, and you know, if you have
directions and back and forth. And
right. Well, let's say you had ratings for every movie from 1 to 5, and let's say the rating was right on the relationship. You know, I rated the movie and I gave it a 4. You rated a movie, gave it a 2. We can then take everybody that rated that movie and do a collection of all the
right,
and do an average across all those relationships.
That's pretty cool. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. That's awesome.
We saw some options in Azure. I demoed Neo4j, but certainly there's many, many options. DataStax, which is one of our partners, they have a column family data. We'll talk about that in another module, but they actually have a graph database now, and it stores its data in their column store. So it's a neat approach.
That's an interesting approach. Yeah. Okay, so now we know what they're good at. We've taken a look at some of the options. You gave us a demo. You know, I think there's definite cases where, you know, that's a very unique kind of proposition and a very unique challenge. And, you know, I remember days where I've kind of built these strange self-referencing tables in SQL before to be able to kind of like traverse to find out who my parent is and then who the parent's parent is and the parent of the parent of the parent. And you end up in these very inefficient kind of queries. And I've often angered DBAs when they come running into my office going, what have you built? Now I'll just use a graph database and not anger a DBA anymore.
So you really just cool. Anger your current teammates?
Maybe.
Okay.
But all right. We'll see. There may be a need for a graph database somewhere. Cool. So that's a wrap of that module.
Yeah, that's graph databases.
Excellent.
In a nutshell.
Great. So we're going to go take a break, and we will be back shortly.
Yeah, we'll do a 15-minute break.
Yeah, 15-minute break. And then we'll be back again with the next module. Thank you all.